Food. Oh, yes.
And it's you know what? One thing is like it bothers me. I'm not talking as a fitness professional. I'm not talking about that right now. You know what bothers me? Is the fact that when you work out, let's say I have an intense workout, anybody, let's say you burn 400 calories, 400, 500 calories. Oh man, I did good. Literally in one sitting, you gained that 400 calories back. That's what sometimes it's just like, oh my God. But that doesn't mean you starve yourself, whatever. You have to understand your body automatically burns something. Like automatically burn, let's say for me it's 1800 calories. At rest, I'm gonna burn 1800. Shane, thanks so much for tuning in. Just when you get a chance, hit that subscribe button or hit that follow button if you listen on podcast. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show. The goal was 300,000 steps for women's health. We definitely eclipsed that. Definitely. Right now, the goal now is 3 million. I think we're probably going to eclipse that too, but right now is 1,360,716 steps. That's almost four times than what I wanted. More than four times than what I wanted. So let's keep it up, ladies. Please keep it up. I'm seeing a lot of women. I have some people that gave me 300 steps in a day, which is fine. I see somebody that gave 21,000 steps in a day. You know, that's fine too. I mean, that's excellent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay it, but anything you can offer, anything of, like, I feel like it empowers us to be more aware of what we're doing, how active we are during the day, because you're so focused on it, you're trying to improve it. I mean, majority of you guys are. And one person, she was getting just like maybe 2,000, 2,500 or whatever, and then I think it was yesterday she gave me 5,000, and that was her goal, just to get that. And she got it, which is fantastic. I'm really proud of her. But anyway, keep up the good work, guys. If you know anybody that needs, I guess, this support, it'd be fantastic. You know, send them, you know, let them know what we're doing, okay? I'm posting it all over the place, so hopefully it does get traction. But I am a nobody, so it's not going to really get that much traction. But I'm happy that you guys are doing it. The ones that are doing it, I really appreciate it. I really sincerely do. Because you guys, I mean, this is, I thought we didn't even get this close, but I mean, get 300,000, but hell, we got it. We eclipsed it four times. All right, so let's talk about the abs. And we're gonna get nutrition, we're gonna focus on exercises, we're gonna do all that. I'll show you some demos of stuff. First and foremost, so there's tons of exercises you can do. You can pound away, do your crunches, do your sit-ups, do your this, do your that. I mean, there's so many things. We're going to get into some exercises you can do. But it's always, remember, something is, if you're not understanding the process of what you're trying to do, okay, like saying if you're trying to get ready for the gym and get ready for the beach or whatever, there's some protocol you have to follow. You're most likely trying to lose weight, all right? So you have to make sure you have low calories and those kind of things. So it's good to make sure that you are aware of that, okay? So are your calories on point? We gotta definitely hit all that stuff, but let's go on some anatomy, quick anatomy. I don't want to bore you with everything, but you can understand how it's all set up, all right? So the first thing, majority of times when you see the six pack, I want a six pack, whatever, there's one muscle called erector abdominis. That's a muscle in the front of the abs. Okay, maybe I should have got a diagram, but whatever. I don't want to bore you guys with this stuff anyway. And then it's all on the top level. Okay, you have your skin, yeah. Then you're going to have your body fat or whatever, but then you have the rectus abdominis or what have you. Then you have the muscles on your side called the obliques. Down on the back is called the erector spinae, the muscles that kind of help you sit up erect or stay up, you know, upright position. Then there's something underneath that called the transverse abdominis. It's the equivalent of a corset. You know, I mean, back in the day, you know, not medieval times, but you know, back then, women wear the corsets or whatever to keep everything nice and tight or whatever. So that's what our natural corset is called. It's a transverse abdominis. So that one is is something that we kind of lack focus on. If we just do sit-ups, we don't work it. If we just do side bends, we don't work that muscle. And it's very, very important. Because when you guys give birth, that kind of muscle is usually stretched or damaged or whatever. And that's how sometimes you might see women have some type of, I guess a deformity, I guess you can call it maybe, or the stomach is like, it's like a torn, it's like a tear. Oh my God, I totally forgot the name of it. But either way, if you can, that's the muscle you want to work on. And I'm going to show you an exercise, actually a video of what you should be doing when it comes to that. Alrighty. Some people are listening to this, they're not watching it, so I'll explain it. I'll verbally explain it, what the video is going on. So that's the anatomy. Okay. So you have your skin, then you have your body fat. Okay. Then you have the muscle. Okay. The muscles, the rectus spinae is in the back, along your spine. The rectus abdominis is in the front. That's the six pack, which you see those six pack or eight packs, or whatever it is, or four packs, whatever. Then you have the obliques, the muscles on the side. Okay. And a little fun fact, and I'll probably get more detail. No, I'll say it now, but majority of the time, when we have back problems, if we strengthen those, probably most of the time, if you focus on those muscles on the side, the obliques, to kind of balance everything out. I always use the analogy of a house. If there's too much snow on the rooftop and one or two sides are weaker, the roof is going to collapse or what have you. So that's what happens. There's usually some type of weakness. It could be the dominoes or the core, but let's focus on abdominals right now. I'll get to the word core, what the word core means. But the abdominals is sometimes could be the culprit why you have back problems. So you want to make sure you focus on all four quadrants or all four sides when it comes to strengthening your back and strengthening your core and your abs in general. All right, not just your sit-ups and rectus abdominis, six-pack, whatever. You want to focus on the other sides of it. All right. And then we also get to the boring stuff real quick. Not really boring, but stuff that, you know, people don't want to hear when I say if you want to get a six pack, you have to make sure you eat, you know, in a caloric deficit. Okay, like I said, when I was explaining to you, you have your skin, then you have body fat, then you have the muscle. If you could do tons of sit-ups, if you're doing core strengthening stuff, like you're trying to strengthen your core overall, fine. If you're trying to fix your lower back pain, fine. But if you want to show off your abs, it's really going to become down. It's going to come down to nutrition. Are you eating enough calories? Are you not stressed out? Because stress, cortisol goes up, and then that's where you get a lot of the stomach fat. You know, the torso, trunk, the fat in your trunk or your midsection or whatever. Okay, so. So you want to make sure, if anything, if your stress is fine, that's great, but then you focus on eating properly. Okay, we want to make sure we have enough protein, of course. We're trying to build muscle, that's really what we're trying to do. And then we also want to make sure that we're on a caloric deficit. You know, you can usually watch your carbs, and watch your fats. But just make sure you have enough protein, and you know, you're not dropping your calories to like 500 calories. You're not starving yourself, because that's also when cortisol will come up, and you know, your cortisol will actually turn your muscle that you have already into body fat, because you don't want that, because your body's gonna try to, you know, scrape at everything it can to preserve your life, to give yourself energy to do stuff. So if no food's available, all right, I'll just go for your muscle. Okay, I go for your hair. I go for, you know, all the other things that the body shouldn't be going for, but it needs to survive. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much when it comes down to nutrition. I mean, hydration too is definitely important. Let's see. You know, watching your sugars, watching your processed foods. You know, processed foods usually has a lot of salt and all that kind of stuff we don't want that lead to bloat and fat gain, you know, like the sugary stuff. I mean, but just remember something too. If you have sugar, just remember something. Forget about, you know, you're trying to get a six pack. But if you have sugar in general, you know, just understand if you use the energy up or carbs, sugar or carbs, whatever, you know, you'll be fine. If you're not moving around that much, you probably don't need that much carbs to begin with. All right. But if you're exercising, if you're, doing a lot of exertion, you should have some carbs in you. Don't be afraid of carbs. I mean, I don't go to zero, get everything zero. I'm just going to have a salad and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's to the extreme. Okay. And that's usually what causes people to bounce back and do the whole yo-yo dieting thing. All right. Anyway, let's go to this. That, all right, let's go some exercises. Let me see if I can. Yeah, I'm gonna share my screen. Share screen. This is so awesome. I have to share this one. Yeah, share that one. Okay, so let's type in. We're gonna do first the basic one, the plank. Okay, let me go here. Where is it? Like, I need a regular basic plank. Okay, here we go. Abdominal. All right, this is just a basic plank. The person's on their elbows and toes. Okay, the key to this is definitely making sure that your abs are tight. Better make sure your abs are tight. Your glutes are actually tight too, okay? So that's what sometimes people neglect to do. They neglect to tighten the glutes, okay? Just to add a protection for your lower back, okay? Just in case if you have lower back issues. So it's good to, of course, tighten your abs, but also tighten up your glutes as well, all right? So that's one, okay? Let me get out of here. And then I'm gonna show you an advanced one. If you have a TRX at your gym, this one here is, I'm just not going to play, but it's pretty much like a plank. Your elbows and your feet is in the TRX. That's way more advanced. I'm not saying to do that. If you, you know, if you have back problems, don't do it. If your core is not strong enough, don't do it. If you struggle, if you're shaking within 10 seconds of doing a regular plank, don't do this. But just so the FYI, when it comes to plank, or what you could do is put your elbow on a ball. Your elbows being on the ground or being in a ball. Anytime you add instability to any exercise, that's a good way to incorporate your core. You know, I'm not saying to do this doing a one-handed bicep curl will also challenge a core. Like, say, if you stand, one-handed, but one-legged. If you stand on one leg, I'm not saying to do this, but for example, one-legged. You stand on one leg and you're doing a bicep curl, that can definitely challenge your core. Okay, so next, the next one. All right, so the thing is, when it comes to crunches, okay, is a crunch better than a sit-up? Okay, me personally, I think both work, but then there's some people that say, no, a crunch is, a crunch is more beneficial compared to a sit-up, because if you do a sit-up, it's going to hurt your back or whatever. But this is my personal opinion, you know, do whatever you want to do. But if you're just going through the motions, probably going to hurt your back. But if you're focusing on your core, taking your time with your reps, you should be fine. Okay, because it's pretty much the difference between a crunch and a sit-up. A sit-up is pretty much you're coming up all the way. Pretty much your chest is touching your knees. A crunch, you're just coming up till your shoulder blades come off the ground. Now, like I said, it's really up to you and your body. Can your body take certain things? Okay, but to really challenge the abs, you want to have trunk flexion, meaning, like I said, your chest is coming up off the ground, your shoulder blades coming off the ground, or your chest is going forward off the ground. I mean, there's some extreme cases where you can have both your legs and your arms come off the ground. Your chest and your legs come off the ground at the same time. So the only thing else on the ground is your butt, you know, your butt and maybe your lower back a little bit, but that's some intense stuff right there. So you could definitely do that. But that's all advanced stuff. But the thing is, you have to make sure that you're using your core, not using your hip flexors, not using all these other stuff that's considered your core muscles. Okay, remember I talk about that, like, after maybe finish these exercises, and I'll talk about that. Then the next one, I mean, actually, when it comes to obliques, let me do focus on this first. A side plank. A side plank is pretty much good to you just on your elbow, you're laying on your side, one elbow on the ground, and your one foot is on top of the other foot, and you're lifting your hips up off the ground. Okay, so this one you can either just go up and down, you know, hips touch the ground and come back up, back and forth, 15 reps, 10 reps, whatever it is. But or you could just do is hold it. So the thing is though, I prefer, some people can't even do this. So when people start trying to do like a Russian twist, that might be a problem. So you should do, because Russian twist is a more advanced version exercise to work your obliques. This one is, it could be advanced, because unless you be careful your shoulders if you have shoulder problems, of course. But this one, if you work on this first before doing the Russian twist, or the Russian twist, or the V sits with rotations, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, but this one, if you can, like a good routine to do, honestly, regular plank for 30 seconds, side plank, 30 seconds each or 15 reps each when it comes to the side planks, up and down. That's a perfect routine right there, because you're hitting your side, your main, your rectus abdominis, and your side, your obliques, with the side planks, of course. All right, so, and that's actually, I mean, it doesn't hit the lower abs per se, but it's definitely good. All right, let me go to the next one. Let me go to the V-ups. V-sits. I think there's this software called V-sits with rotation. V-sits. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, this one here. Okay, so you see, in this situation, the gentleman has his foot down on the ground. So the only thing that's on the ground is his heels and his butt, okay? It's just going side to side with the dumbbell. Or you don't have to use a dumbbell. You don't necessarily have to use a dumbbell. But it's, I like it. Honestly, I like it better with the feet down. The more advanced version from that is really just having your feet up. So you're balancing on your butt at the same time. But if you're doing it the right way, you're taking your time one side to the next, you're fine. You don't have to really try to lift your knees up. I mean, your heels up if you don't want to. All right. Sorry. Now the lower abs. The lower abs is can be rough. I'm going to show you this version here. This one, I like this version. See him? He's holding onto the bench. You can always do leg lifts. Leg lifts would be like you're laying on the ground, and you're having your hands below your lower back, underneath your lower back, and you're lifting your legs up straight. My opinion, if you feel insecure about that or something, maybe you're worried about your back, if you can, try your best to see if you can bend your knees. Bend your knees is easier than having your legs straight. Even anything at all when it comes to abs. If you're on the captain's chair, you're lifting your legs up, you know, with that machine out, you hold yourself up. Having your legs straight is a lot harder than having your knees bent. So try, if you're doing leg lifts or a version of the leg lifts, you're laying on your back, flat on your back, have your arms underneath your lower back, or actually something, another thing you could do is hold something above your head. You're laying and holding something above your head, otherwise you're laying down to grab onto. That can also help too. But the focus, doesn't matter what you do, is your abs. Okay, mind muscle connection. Like I was saying before, you know, many times before, I should say, you want to make sure you focus on the muscle you're using. Okay, you're not using other muscles to do it. You're not doing anything else. You're focusing on those abdominals. Okay, in this case, with the leg lifts, is the lower abs. Okay, in this example right here, you see, or you might see, some of you listening, you just bending in, you're holding on, sitting down. You actually could do this on the ground too. You're just sitting on the ground or sitting on a bench, holding onto the bench, and then lifting your knee, pulling your knees into your chest, legs straight out, and then in. You can actually get in this video, he's moving his knees in, his chest and his knees are meeting at one point at the top of the lift. But you can also just hold your body upright and just have your knees, have your legs in and out, pulling in and out, that kind of thing. Okay, So there's one more thing that I wanna actually do. Well, show you guys is a vacuum. Now, like I said, we hit all the muscles, the rectus abdominis for the plank and the sit-ups, the Russian twist or the side plank for the obliques, and the legless for the like lower abs, like in that lower portion of it. But I also want to focus on the transverse abdominis, because like I said, especially for women, if you can focus, let me see if there's any questions real quick. How long did you hold them for? Hold a plank. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I actually saw a woman, I think she's in her 50s or 60s or something like that. And she actually held her plank for like, what was it? It was like 4 hours or something like that. And that's just, I don't know. I'm not built for that. I'm just giving you 30 seconds. I'm giving you a minute, and that's all you get. I mean, good for her. No disrespect. Good for her. But it's just like, I'm not trying to break no records at all. I'm just trying to, make the little muscles I can and then move on. But yeah, I mean, me personally, if you can, in my opinion, I usually maybe like an let's say at the end of a workout thing, you say, you know what, I'm gonna see how long I can hold a plank. With all the fatigue you got going on and whatever, let me try to hold a plank as long as I possibly can. And that's what I sometimes I do in like at the HIIT class or in one-on-one session class with the clients. I just see what they can do. So anyway, but to answer your question, Rashina, just hold your plank, side plank, front, side plank, a regular plank, just for 30 seconds. That should be fine, in my opinion. If you want to go for a minute just to kind of challenge yourself, a regular plank, that's perfectly fine. Okay. Let me see. So let me show you the vacuum. Oh, sorry, my neck is just in. I've been having my doing a lot of computer work, and my head's been forward leaned, and my neck's been killing me, guys. Hope you guys aren't having the same problems. Oh, all right. So I had to use my erectus dominis and my, what am I forgetting? My rectus spinae to keep myself upright so I don't lean forward. All right. Anyway, let me screen share again. So this time we're gonna look at this stomach. It's gonna be a video of a lady talking about it, going over it, and I'll kind of be quiet a little bit. Yeah, so you see, she's like inhaling, she's exhaling everything. Okay, that's the best way to get it. I'm gonna stop it. So that's the best way you want to start out with. When it comes to your, you can actually do this. You can do this lying down. You can do it standing up. You actually do it hunched over or bent over, hands on a bench or a hand on your bed or something like that. So the first thing you want to do is just exhale everything. So inhale, exhale. But as you're exhaling, you're kind of pushing your stomach in. The goal for this is to like push your belly button into your spine. That's the goal of this whole thing. That's what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? So if you can, try it once. Try it. It's actually pretty good. Like I said, the transverse abdominis stretches along the whole entire lower back. I mean the midsection or your abdominis, abdomen. Okay, so it's very, very important. I mean, guys should do it, women should do it, everybody should do it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's very important. Like once in a while, do it or whatever, doing your ab routine. Maybe start with that when you about to start your ab routine. Okay, so she blows everything out. Okay, then she's sucking her stomach in. Okay, pulling your belly button into your spine. Sometimes your ribs, if you're skinny enough, your ribs could show. Like your ribs starts poking out, your stomach literally gets pulled in, and you can see your ribs. You know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of time when men, like bodybuilders, they flex. They
Okay.
when the bodybuilders they flex or pose on the stage, they do that to signify how strong their abdominals are. Okay, actually, I think it was Arnold maybe that I think it was Arnold that popularized that. But a vacuum, stomach vacuum. If you want to get more understanding about it, definitely look it up. Stomach vacuum is definitely good to do. It's very, very nice. Like I said, jeez, I forgot what that the condition some women have. I told I guess, oh man, I can see it, like I can actually see it. But it's like when you're, I know, like say I'm pointing at her abdominal, you should be able to see it for my mouse. It's like going up her mid, her right where her belly button is, like right over there. like above it and below, like be pushed in or caved in, concave kind of thing. And that's not really right. She doesn't have it, of course, but that's what you've probably seen it many times, seen it a few times before, but you pretty much your that muscle needs to get stronger. I mean, that there's a separation of your abdominal, of your rectus abdominis. So you usually what to remedy that is the best if you do the stomach vacuum. I mean, there's surgeries you can do for it too if you want to, but it's best if you do the stomach vacuum to help with that, if you have that. You know, mostly, you know, women after birth, giving birth or whatever, they have that issue. Not most. I mean, sometimes it's rare occasions and stuff. So anyway, so let me stop sharing. Let me go back to, okay, let me see. So yes, I think we covered all the exercises. So the thing I want to also let people understand when it comes to the core exercises is the fact that your core is made up of your abs, your abdominals, and your butt muscles, your rectus spine, of course. Yeah, so your obliques, your rectus abdominis, transverse abdominis, the muscle underneath. What else? It's your hip flexors, the muscles right here on your thighs, the upper part of your thighs. Yeah, so your butt. And that's pretty much, oh yeah, hamstrings too. Some people think your hamstrings. So those core muscles is what you really want to strengthen when you're having back issues overall. I mean, yes, I just mentioned, I told you abs, you know, your obliques, strengthen those. But majority of times when you have back issues, it's probably connected to the weakness or strengths or imbalances of those muscles. So anytime you go to therapy, they're most likely going to focus on those things, either stretching those certain muscles out or strengthening one or two of those muscles. It's usually one or the other. So just expect that. So that's what the core muscles are. You have your abdominal muscles, then you have your core muscles, your muscles that incorporate back stability or spine stability. I mean, for the midsection, at least, that's your core. Okay, let's go with... so we talked about making sure we get enough sleep, consistency, overprotect.
Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together.
Check me out at kandapastrength.com. Perfection. So make sure that you're working on a consistent basis, guys. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just make sure you guys do what you're supposed to do. Okay, hold on. Rashini had a question, I think, but then it went away. It's like, you know, guys, just make sure we focus on the other things too, not just a workout, not just a diet. Make sure we stress levels down. We make sure we get sleep and we're consistent with everything. Okay, is it better to hold the ab exercises? I mean, wait a minute, like at the top of the sit-up. Yeah, so it's called pretty much muscle confusion, they call it. So if you want to maybe do 10 reps. Okay, I'm doing 10 sit-ups or 10 crunches. Then I hold for 10 seconds. Those kind of things is fine because you just want to make sure you fatigue your muscle. The whole point of working out, you're just fatiguing that particular muscle, or exercising is fatiguing or challenging that particular muscle to kind of break it down, to cause change. Because you don't change. Like, even for us, emotionally and physically, it's doing the same thing. If you're challenged or whatever, to the point where you're about to break, you recover from it and you learn from it, you know, and it's getting more like emotional. But same thing goes for the physical. When you're working out a muscle, you don't break from it. God knows you don't pull a muscle. I hope you don't pull a muscle, but you stress the muscle, challenge the muscle, whatever, it heals and it gets stronger. So that's the whole premise about this whole thing. So when it comes to abs, and when it comes to abs, working out the abs or any muscle, that's what you want to do. But when it comes to showing the abs, I should say, is that that's when it comes to more your diet. When they say the abs are made in the kitchen, it's right, yes and no. Abs are made in when you work out and when you eat, you know, to develop that muscle. But then to see the abs is creating that caloric deficit. But like I said, you don't want to have that tremendous, crazy amount of deficit. And then you have like the starvation, your body goes into starvation mode to start tearing away, eating your muscle up, you know, to survive, you know? So to answer that question though, yes. Is it better? Yes. I mean, it's a different thing. You challenge it. Like, so like I said, if you're doing like a sit-up, like you just gave an example, holding at the top, that's perfectly fine. Just hold at the top, maybe do 10 reps, or you could do reverse. 10 second hold at the top of the sit-up and then 10 reps. And you'll feel that pain. I mean, the good pain, hopefully. But it's just all about, even just, let's say you're doing 10 sit-ups. Do 10 when you come up. Come up fast and then go down slow. Okay, that's more like a tempo thing. So you go up 1 second and then down 3 seconds. Soon as your shoulder blades touch the ground, go back up fast, come down slow. Okay, and you can always do that any other time. I mean, that's actually pretty good. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do that with different muscle groups, different muscles or whatever, and actually even get nauseous from it. I mean, mostly the bigger muscles like the legs, even upper body as well, but mostly legs. When you do that kind of tempo stuff, like saying you're squatting, you squat up fast as you can, but then you come down tremendously slow, like a 3 second, 4 or 5 second count. It's crazy. It's like no joke. But yeah, so it's good to challenge the body in different ways. If you keep on doing the same thing, like 1 second up, 1 second down, bicep curls, squats, up and down, it's easy, whatever. And that's how you mature as somebody that's in the gym. And that's why I should keep seeing this meme or this phrase or this saying or whatever, this statement being said on social media, that I matured in the gym, that's when that's when I realized that nutrition is important, just as important as the workout, or not, if not more important, something like that, you know, whatever. And that's what I'm hoping that everyone here starts to realize, that, you know, the nutrition is just as important as well as it just as important. Like I said, that the iceberg, what you see above water is just a workout. What you don't see is a workout. You don't see the diet. You don't see the fact that you have to sleep. Sleep gets you 8 hours. That's when everything happens. The muscle develops. The body fat goes away. And that's when you see, and you also see the mental health portion of it, like the stress. Are you stressed out? I mean, it can get more complex than it needs to be. But for the most part, I think most of us need to add more exercise and activity and, you know, focus on nutrition somewhat more. It'll be fine. Okay, so I wanted to actually talk about something else. So that's it. Any other questions, let me know. The workout's the easy part. The diet sucks. I love food. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And you know what? What thing is like, it bothers me? I'm not talking as a fitness professional. I'm not talking about that right now. You know what bothers me? Is the fact that when you work out, let's say I have an intense workout. Anybody. Let's say you burn 400 calories. 400, 500 calories. Oh, man, I did good. Literally in one sitting, you gain that 400 calories back. That's what sometimes it's just like, oh my God. But that doesn't mean you starve yourself, whatever. You have to understand your body automatically burns something. Like automatically burn, let's say for me, it's 1800 calories. At rest, I'm going to burn 1800 calories. No sweat or whatever. Then I'm walking around and moving around. My body's still burning more calories. But the fact that I worked out, I had an intense workout. I almost collapsed. Almost threw up. And only burn 400 calories. Oh my goodness. But anyway, I'm just being a baby right now. But anyway, let's talk about styles of eating. And when I say styles of eating, I mean, like, it's more like shopping, really, like the kind of stuff you do. So I think it's supposed to come up. I think I have it to get shown. I think I might have it, I posted, I think, tonight. There's a lot of stuff that I set up to be posted in the group chat. at a certain time. I think I have it for today. And okay, let me see. Where is this? So I'm just trying to make sure I find it. So I know, I think it was for today. Was it? I guess not today, I guess. But anyway, sorry. So I think there's three different kinds of people, right? There's three kind of different people when it comes to eating, okay, and shopping, food shopping and all together. So one is going to be the ones that really don't care. I'm not, this not had to do anything with necessarily losing weight, but it has to do with, wait a minute, 1 second. Keep him down. Okay, because I don't know if you can hear, but that voice is yelling and yelling and yelling. I just text Connie to see if she can keep him down. Anyway, so there's one group of people, like I said, had nothing to do with losing weight. One group of people that decide to say, hey, I'm just going to eat whatever I want or whatever. I'm going to stay within my calories or whatever. Just not really caring, you know, about organic, not caring about grass-fed, not really caring about anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And the other group is like more in the middle. Okay, I'm gonna watch what I eat, all that kind of stuff or whatever, but then I'm gonna then the other group is gonna be more of the organic, nothing but grass-fed, nothing but I don't know what the other terms are, but you know what I'm saying, all organic, 100% certified, you know, I don't mess around with that stuff, kind of organic. So I think, because I posted something about the vegan protein shake, and it had a lot of stuff on it. Not a lot, I don't think it was a lot, but some of the stuff actually, it was like, it was honestly, I didn't mind it because it's words I can pronounce. If it's words I can't pronounce, I have a problem with that. But it was words I can't pronounce. Plus, I think it was more to help some people out, because you had to come to the conclusion that if you need it, it has to be kind of the certain things. Okay, when it comes to what you buy, convenience, price, and what is it? Convenience, price. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, convenience and price. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like mostly price actually. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you. That's why I like when it comes to diets, everything is subjective. Can you, like, some people could do it? Yeah, and taste. Oh yeah, taste too. Yeah, so the first group would be taste. The first group would be more taste. It's like, it's convenient and it tastes good, so I'm gonna have it. Yeah, that's true, Sheena. Yeah. So anyway, it's I feel that also though it does come down to price though. Of all, maybe like I'll probably say like 50% is price, taste is 25%, and convenience is 25%, kind of thing. It's like, but it's because everyone will like to have everything that's, you know, not no pesticides or not a lot of pesticides in it. But some people can't afford it. That's what we talked about last week. You know, but when it comes to that vegan shake, I mean, the only thing I saw bad that I can remember, I think, was like a gum. Some type of gelatin gum or something like that. Gelatin gum or some whatever. But it's like for some, you have to kind of pick and choose what you, okay, I'm going to have organic chicken, but you know what? I have to have this protein shake because all the other protein shakes cost literally like $50. And it's just for like something that's going to last me for a week, maybe like 4 or 5 days. You know what I'm saying? So those are those kind of things that you have to think about when it comes to, or some people have to think about. Some people, like I said, don't care. I'm just going to watch my macros. I'm going to have cheeseburgers. I'm going to have this and that, or McDonald's, whatever. I'm just going to watch my macros. I'm still going to lose weight. But, you know, inside, there might be some problems brewing for later on, you know? And that's when people in the middle would be more, okay, I'm going to have the processed protein shakes. But when it comes to meat, when it comes to this, when it comes to that, I'm going to be more cautious of that. I'll probably spend a little extra more with that. But when it comes to that convenience of having that protein shake, whatever, that probably has some gums or whatever the case may be, I'm going to deal with that. But then I'm going to have, you know, you pick and choose kind of thing. And plus, like I said, finance come on down with that. And then of course I have those people that are, you know, hey, you know, I gotta, you know, I have time, I have all this thing, disposable income. Let me get organic everything. Let me buy that $50 protein shake that's only gonna last me for a week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all about, you know, what suits you. You know, I keep washing my hands and, oh my God, my dry ass skin. Anyway, what's next? Okay, any questions about that? Anybody? No. Okay, and then something else I want to, speaking of which, what we just talked about now, there's some things that I want you to understand, something. When you work out, when you eat good, healthy, reasonable, healthy, or eat, you know, you be more cautious of or conscious of what you're eating, and you're getting your sleep, you have to understand it really is an investment in your future. It's actually you putting money back into your pockets. Okay, I want you to understand that, because it's the more money you spend, though. I mean, I'm not saying to go a full organic, but the more times you decide to have, you know, the organic foods or the leaner meats or the, I guess, grass-fed meats or whatever, I guess. But then also you're working out consistently, you know, and you're sleeping well, those kind of things, you know, that's more money in your pocket later on, because you don't have to pay for the diabetes medication or the hypertension medicine or whatever, the blood thinners or whatever else you have to pay later on in life. You know, so please understand that. Okay. That's why I just want to share that with you. And the last thing, little story time. And it was a quick story. And it was, it happened today. And my client said to me, if I had a BBL, I wouldn't have to do this. She said, shit, you know, because I had her, oh, she was doing squats. And she said that if she had a BBL, I wouldn't have to do this crap or whatever. And she wasn't wrong. I laughed. She's not wrong. If you know, BBL is a Brazilian butt lift. It's pretty much, I think you're taking fat, body fat from the other portion of your body and putting in your butt to make it look bigger. And I mean, I pretty much said to her, that's true. You know, from an aesthetic standpoint, that is true. But I told her, it's like, at the end of the day, you're still going to have to put muscle in your butt. Because if you putting muscle on your butt in general, it adds more, it's like pretty much, it helps your lower back, it helps with your knees and other things too, having strong glutes, because we're always sitting on our butts and we don't get the butt we want by just sitting on it. We have to work it, right? So anyway, and but like I said, she's right. Cause right now she's young. And she's just focusing on, you know, the aesthetic part of it. But in reality, you know, you should be working out for like add years or add, you know, years to your life. Yes, to be more functional, be able to move and dance. And like I said before, in his post I did, it was like, you know, do you want to be in the corner, you know, with your BBL, can't move, you know, in a nursing home, whatever. Hey, you still got the BBLs. I don't know if you have to service that thing. Do you have to service BBLs? I don't know. Maybe after 20 years, you have to get it serviced. But you could be sitting in the corner, sitting down on your BBL, and you can't even stand up. You can't have a balance because you don't have muscle. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you have to understand when it comes to, you know, should I get a BBL? Or should I just go to the gym and work hard? But I've seen people get the BBL and then start working out, start lifting some weights, you know. But, you know, to each his own. I'm not going to hate, you know. You know, work hard, do what you got to do. It's your life, your money, you know. But just figure I'll share that with you guys. This is funny. But yeah, guys. So, make sure our abs, make sure we work our abs, you know. But if you want to show our abs, you can work your abs. But if you want to show your abs, you want to make sure you're eating properly. You're in a caloric deficit. You're mindful of a certain other things, you know, the sugars and stress levels and stuff like that. But yeah, any other questions about anything, guys? Oh man, get the Drake special. yeah, I found out. Yeah, he's on Ozempic. Oh yeah. I didn't know that. I guess Kendrick told us, you know. But anyway, guys, yeah. I mean, I like I said, Ozempic isn't, you know, one, I realize not for everybody, because some people eat their way through it, one, and some people that have bad reactions to it. But then also, too, Ozempic is used as a tool. Don't use it as the end-all, be-all. I'm going to hold on to the rest of my life, try to stay on this thing for the rest of my life kind of thing, whatever. You know, use it as a tool. Maybe get you jump-started to, you know, focusing and, you know, reconditioned to your relationship with food or whatever. Actually, speaking of which, I'm supposed to have, I have to set up a, not a Q&A, but an interview with a food therapist someone referred me to, and I still haven't done it yet. There's too many things. Definitely not this month, because I'm doing all this stuff recently with the steps and all the other stuff. But yeah, so anyway, that's coming down the pop line. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you learned something. I really appreciate everyone that watches it now or watches it later. I really appreciate it. And keep your steps coming. So far, I've seen, you know, 21,000 steps. I've seen 20,000 steps. I mean, it's been, I mean, honestly, I think I got like 10,000 steps two times this month, and it's already the 13th. My goal was actually to get 10,000 steps, but I was like, wow. I mean, you guys are doing a hell of a job. You guys don't need my help at all. You guys don't need nothing but me, which is good. So anyway, keep the steps coming. Thank you so much. Everyone, I really, really, really seriously appreciate this. All right. So anyway, have a good evening. Any questions, Rashina? Nothing? No, you probably signed off already, if anything. But if there's no questions, I'll let you guys go. Have a good night. Thank you so much. And I'll see you next week. Next week is Q&A. No? Okay, good, Rashina. Have a good night. I see you guys next week for Q&A. I'm probably going to have some more stories and more other topics to talk about, not just Q&A. But if you guys have any questions, please feel free to fire my way, okay? Alrighty, guys. You guys have a good one. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye.
Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together.
Check me out at kadapastrength.com.